And so we're grateful for that. I'm excited at what God's doing. I look around and I see familiar faces. I see new faces. I see lots of faces. Let's face it, if it wasn't for you being here, there wouldn't be any need for us to be here. And here's the catch, though. You're not here just to hear me preach. You're here to take what is being taught through the preaching of the Word outside and share it. Amen? Listen, I don't mean to just be redundant, but you know we spent almost seven complete days driving around, stomping around, looking around, hiking, looking for our quarry. We really did. And here's the sad part: we found no evidence of the quarry until day seven. What difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world, because in the first 6 days, there was this little thing called perseverance. We battled rain. We didn't really battle it. It just beat us up and then ran off of us. And mud, snow, high winds, and freezing temperatures. And sunshine. We saw things. If you'll just look around, church, God will show you some stuff. And in our driving around and in our search, you'll be just driving around and all of a sudden, bam, there's a rock, a massive rock, just boom, just shoots up out of the timber. And somewhere like maybe halfway, have you ever seen a rock? Anybody ever seen a rock? I mean, I'm talking about a rock. Rocks don't have dirt on them. You ever notice that about a rock? I mean, a big rock? Like I'm talking about? Not much dirt. But yet, a dug fir tree this big around just growing right out of the rock. You know, huh? And Mike and I were driving around and I said, Mike, you see that tree? That tree's got roots. I don't know where they are because they're in that rock. But that tree has grabbed on to something inside the rock. And the winds and the snows over the years that have gone by, and the rain and the fire and all those kinds of things have come against that dug fir tree, but yet it's still just standing there. And when I looked at that, and Mike and I talked about that, I said, you know what? That's exactly what Christ is wanting for us as His children to be like, to find out some way to get our roots down through. This is a rock. And those roots go down and they find something to grab onto, something that they can draw nourishment from. Hello? Listen, I want to talk to you this morning about my message title is Free to Live. Free to Live. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So because of what Christ has done for us at the cross, and prior to it, there have been many, many things that have been set in motion, this series of events. And they are, in fact, remarkable to think that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of the Most High God, would give His life as a ransom for yours and for mine is literally beyond my belief. I can't comprehend that. But I know that He did. I'm grateful that He did. And this morning, I want for us to set our mind toward the Lord and surrender anything to Him that we have been holding on to, that we have not been able to let go of. Anybody at all? That anybody? I mean, because there are things in our life that we hang right on to them. Amen? We're like the monkey. Right? You know how they catch some monkeys? They put some little shiny trinket inside of a coconut that's been hollowed out, that's been chained to a tree, and the monkey just can't leave it alone. He's got to reach in there and get a hold of it. But when he does, and he wraps his hand around it, it becomes too big to get out of the hole. But the monkey wants it so bad that he won't turn it loose. And they get captured. Church, there's things in our lives that we got to let go of. Father, this morning, as we look into Your Word, I pray, God, this preacher decrease, that You'd increase in me, that Your Word would go forth like a sharp, two-edged sword. God, that it would do all that You have set Your Word to accomplish today in our hearts. Lord, would you in fact circumcise our hearts? God, that the old flesh would be cut away, and we'd be made alive together with You this morning, and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. Stand with me this morning as we read this passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, that's us, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. God, I pray Your blessing on the reading of Your Word. Lord, let it come alive to us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Colossian believers, you may be seated, the Colossian believers had become God's children. If you have accepted the Lord, you have become one of God's children. The sign of their new life was not, in fact, a cutting of the flesh, but a cutting off of the sinful nature. I like the fact that it says in verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Anybody besides the preacher deal with principalities and powers? Things that come against you and I. Listen, the Lord says in this verse that He's disarmed them. They might come at you, but they don't have any. They don't really have any power. I mean, it's like some kind of a marauder, some kind of a. I don't even know how to illustrate it, but somebody that is coming after you and tries to, well, like some in the animal kingdom, some lizards and some fish. They do things to make them appear bigger than they really are, more threatening than they really are, more powerful than they really are, when in fact, when all that stuff goes away, they're just a little bitty thing. And I feel like that's the way that the enemy comes at us, and he flares out all this stuff, and he's got all this whatever, and he wants to come against us. But listen, at the end of the day, he's a defeated foe. He doesn't have the weaponry. He's been disarmed. Yes, you can give Him glory for that. That's good. See, the sign of their new life was a cutting of the flesh. Our commitment to God has been written on our heart and not our bodies. In the Old Testament time, you had to be a child of God. You had to go through all these rituals and circumcision and blah, blah, blah. And on the eighth day, they circumcised you and they gave you a name. 8 days you go without a name. That's a great time, isn't it? Who are you? Well, you know, we don't know. I'm only 8 days old. They haven't decided what to call me yet. That could be good. That could be bad. But you and I, as His people, have been set free from our evil desires by a spiritual operation, not a bodily one. Covenants in the Old Testament, they used the phrase to cut covenant. To cut covenant with one another, with God. See, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, Moses told the people of Israel to circumcise their hearts. He said, "Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." In verse 17, he says this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." You can't make this stuff up. While we were hunting, Mike, we spent a lot of time together. How many times, church, have we made bargains with God? All our life. Oh, if you'll just do this, God, I'll do this, I'll do this. And 2 weeks later, we thought, God, if you'll just do this, we'll... We talked about, God, if you'll just show us where the elk are. Just show us. He is not in the bribe-taking business. God required all the male Israelites to be circumcised on the eighth day, but He wants for us to go beyond performing a surgery and understand what He's talking about. We need to submit to God on the inside, in our heart, as well as on the outside in our body. So then we can begin to imitate God's love and justice in our relationships with others. How many of you know sometimes other people are just a little bit hard to get along with? Lord, don't be looking at nobody now. Don't be looking around. Eyes right up here. No elbowing. Amen. Listen, if our heart's right with God, then our relationships with other people can be made right too. See, if we'll get the vertical relationship correct, the horizontal relationships will all take care of themselves. See, when our heart's been cleansed, And we've been reconciled to God, we begin to see a difference in the way we treat other people. In verse 17, saying that the Lord is God of gods and Lord of lords, Moses is making distinguishing the true God from all the local gods worshipped throughout the land. Man, they worshipped all kinds of different gods back there. But Moses is saying, hey, wait, whoa, there is one God. He's the God of all gods. He's the King of all kings. He's mighty and awesome. And He doesn't take a bribe. See, Moses goes a step further and he calls God mighty and awesome. He has such awesome power and justice that people cannot stand before Him without His mercy. And fortunately, His mercy toward His people is unlimited. How grateful are we for that this morning? See, when we begin to grasp the intent of God's mercy towards us, we see what true love is and how deeply God loves us. Listen, I'm afraid, church, that your pastor oftentimes is a little short-handed when it comes to love and when it comes to having mercy and those. I mean, sometimes we want it to be thus and so for everybody else, but for us, we want it to be full of mercy and grace. But when somebody else steps out of line, glory to God, we want to see that taken care of. Like you're gonna get what you got coming. You ever prayed for somebody? I'm stealing Mike's stuff because we spend a lot of time together. You ever prayed for somebody to the point where you got tired of praying for them? And so you just tell God, you know what, I'm not going to pray for them anymore. What's the use? Well, where would that person be if you hadn't been praying for them? What kind of mess might your prayers have delivered or saved that person from? Keep praying. You might not see what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, but don't get frustrated. Keep praying. Although our sins deserve severe judgment, the Lord God has chosen to show us love and mercy to all who seek Him. Listen, He should have killed me a long time ago. He should have killed me slap dead a long time. I mean graveyard dead. Jeremiah echoes the teachings that we're looking at here in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4, but he again takes it a step farther. Listen to what he says. He says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doing." That'll get you quiet in a hurry, won't it? See, Jewish boys, again, were circumcised on the eighth day. It's then that they were given a name and made a son of the covenant. And although no amount of surgery on the body can change the heart, the Jews thought that this ritual was their guarantee of salvation. But God wants them and us to operate on our heart and put away our callousness and our disobedience. We're going to have a baptismal service over here in just a little while, but can I tell you something? If you're looking for baptism to save you, you're wrong. It's not going to save you. That pottle, that watering tank over there full of warm, nice water is not got any saving value in it. If you're not saved before you get in there, getting in there ain't going to help you. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And again, we go back to the previous verse where it's therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. They also needed to circumcise their ears in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. I think some of us need to circumcise our ears. In children's church, we used to sing a little song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Lord up above is looking down with love, so be careful." I'm the only one that knows that song. "So be careful, little eyes, what you see. So be careful, little eyes. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Lord's up above, and He's looking down in love." I'll get back to preaching. Circumcise your ears so you can hear what the Word of God is saying. People today depend on baptism. They depend on the Lord's Supper. They depend on the being confirmed, having confirmation, or some other religious ritual for their salvation, when what God wants from you and I is sincere faith from a pure heart. He wants us to come before Him and let what He's done do what He set it forth to do, and quit being religious. Salvation is a gift that we receive by faith. It's not some reward that we earn by being religious. You know what? You want to freak somebody out? Has anybody ever asked you what religion you are? Well, what religion are you? Well, I'm not religious. What? I thought you said you were a pastor. I am a pastor. Well, what religion are you? I'm not religion. I'm not religious. I'm relational. Hello? I have a relationship with the King of Kings. Amen. I go to church because I'm going to meet with Jesus there. I'm not going to go to church because it's Sunday and I have to show up in church so that I keep my record up to snuff. There are religions out there that you've got to keep your tithing record spot perfect. And if you don't, they come to your house. Didn't see in church today, here for your tithe. Oh, and this offering and that offering and the other offering and some more offerings and the other kind of offering. And they have actually built little chambers that they call bishop's chambers in many of their homes, because that's where the... I guess it's for people that don't go to church regular, so that when the bishop comes, that's where he goes. Right there. You just stay right there. That's your little room. And we'll go and make out the check. Oh, and if you don't pay all your tithe, and if you don't keep current with all the offerings and all that kind of stuff, and your family's getting married or buried in a certain other place, you can't go there and be a part of it. If whether you're dad, mom, or whoever, you don't get to go if you're not up to speed, if you don't have all your stuff taken care of. Listen, that is religion, and Jesus Christ did not come to establish that. He came to say, hey, I'm open to all. Why don't y'all come and just visit with me, fellowship with me, have some time in my house together. That's the difference between religiosity and relationship. I might not have two pennies to rub together, but I'll tell you what, I have a relationship that's going to get me into heaven. Amen? That's just what salvation is a free gift, and we receive it by faith. It's not a reward that I earn. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, Paul goes on to teach real circumcision is a matter of the heart. Real circumcision is a matter of the heart. People were physically alive, but spiritually dead. This, Steve? Still working? All right, good, dude. That's good. How many times do we see people that are physically alive, but spiritually dead? God's power raised Christ from the dead, according to chapter 2 and verse 12. And He raised the believers from the dead also, because they had been dead in their sins. Listen, you might not even know it this morning, but you were dead not long ago. You might have had a pulse and you might have been breathing, but spiritually speaking, you're dead. Why? Because you haven't been born again. The Colossians, as they were Gentiles, they had been dead in sin, outside the scope of God's mercy. And what Paul wrote to the Ephesians applies here in chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you jump back a couple verses in chapter 2 and go to verse 10, we don't have time to go there and you don't have it, but it talks about the fact that you and I want you to hear this morning, because some of you have a less than attitude or vision of who you are. And I want to tell you what God said. God said in chapter 2 and verse 10 that you are His workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus. You're His prized possession. Woo! Does that change the way you see yourself? It better. Because you ain't near as smart as God. And He has said you are His prized possession. And it goes on, and if you want to carry on with this verse, it goes on to say that you were not just created to be His prized possession, you were created and endued with gifts, with abilities to go out and to teach and to preach and to make disciples of every nation. That's what it's talking about. Go read it in chapter 2, verse 10, Ephesians. Paul wrote it, inspired by the Holy Ghost. See, before we believed in Christ, our nature was evil. How many of you know when you before you got saved, you did not have a problem sinning? Some of us were really good at it. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, some of us was just good at it. Well, I mean, we practiced it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, some of us were religious practicing it. Happy hour. I don't want to miss happy hour. I'll miss church, but I ain't going to miss happy hour. Did I just say that? Woohoo! Glory, glory, glory. We disobeyed. We rebelled. We ignored God. Listen, even at our best, we didn't love Him with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds. But here's the good news. That's the bad. Here's the good. As Christians, we have a new nature. I have a new nature. I'm not the kid that grew up across the field any longer. I'm not the kid that bashed in all the mailboxes from my house to town. By the way, I didn't do my mailbox because I knew my dad would tan my eyes. How smart is it to do everybody's but your own? It's like, hello, red flag. How come yours is still okay? You know how many mailboxes I had to buy? A lot. I ain't that kid no more. Your mailbox is safe. It is safe. Hashtag Mark Safe Mailbox. It's true. Isn't it, Judy? Yeah, see, I have to be careful what I say because there's somebody in here that has known me since diapers. That is dangerous. Lord. See, God crucified our old rebellious nature. And He replaced it with a new one. We now have a loving nature. Do you realize that your nature has been changed and you literally now have a loving nature? You've been created by Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this and make you all happy this morning? The penalty of sin died with Christ on the cross. That ought to make you pretty happy. God has declared you and I not guilty. Woo! Everybody is shouting about that. Glory to God! You ever been in a court case and they ruled in your favor? You felt really good. Like, woo! Them people on The Price is Right, when they spin the big wheel and they hit the green deal and all that and they get all the money and stuff. I mean, they're dancing around. Listen, you have been declared not guilty. That ought to make you just cut and run and dance and shout and scream and clap your hands. God declared you and I not guilty. And because of that, listen to me. Anybody struggling with stuff and the power, listen, we need no longer live under sin's power. You know how much power the devil has over you? Only what you give him. Only what you give him. That's all the power that the enemy has is what you allow him. You know why? Because he's been defeated. He has no control. He has no power. We have to realize that God does not take us out of this world and He doesn't make you into some kind of a robot. We will still feel like sinning. And the reality is sometimes we still sin. The difference is that before we were saved, we were slaves to our sinful nature. But now I'm free to live for Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, that ought to make you shout. We are free to live for Him. Let me bless you with this one in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me tell you something. If you never had nobody love you ever before in your life, you can know this right now today. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you so much. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and to redeem you and to pay sin's ransom on your life. The Apostle Paul captures the breathless wonder that believers experience as the realization dawns on us that we are no longer living our life, but we have surrendered to the author of life who now lives in us and through us. And as the author of my salvation, He does not need an editor. He does not need you and I to edit this and that in our life. No, He wrote the story. And it's a way better story than what you and I can come up with. I mean, it's like riding a two-seater bicycle. You ever seen a two-seater bicycle? Amen? I mean, I wish I had... I hope our next sanctuary is big enough I can ride a bicycle. I really do. Because I would illustrate it this way this morning. If I had a bicycle, I would drive. I would drive the bicycle. I would sit on the front seat. And I would want God to sit on the back seat. You know why? Because I want to drive and I want Him to provide all the power. Huh? There's a lot wrong with that picture. Number one, God can take me places if I just let Him drive far better than any place I could ever decide to go on my own. And He can provide the power too from the front seat. But church, we don't want to give Him control of everything. You just sit back there, look cute, and pedal. I'll drive. That doesn't work very good. But it's true that that's the way oftentimes we feel. Listen, our evil desires, our bondage to sin, and our love of sin died with Him. Period. It died with Him. When you feel weighted down, remember that your debt has been paid. Your sins have been washed away and forgotten by God, and you're clean and you're new. In forgiving all of our sins, Christ erased the record that stood against us. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because you can go back in my life, go to the courthouse probably, and find documentation, hello, of things that I've done wrong in my life. Because they don't want to forget it in there. They, you know, in case I go buck wild here in my latter days, which I'm not. They keep files on you. They keep records on you. There's people keeping tabs on you. You might even have family members that can tell you every time you've screwed up. But you have one family member that doesn't remember. He remembers it no more forever. I preached a message one time on the forgetfulness of God. He's very forgetful when it comes to your sin and mine. If we'll give it to Him. If we'll let Him have it. This record that was erased is like a handwritten ledger of our trespasses against the law. Humanity could not pay the debt of these offenses, so God wiped it out by the blood of Jesus. He wiped out our sin. And I want to get to this verse in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to what it says. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Woo! Your sin and mine has been nailed to the cross. Christ saw every time you messed up before He went to the cross. Every time you and I sinned, He saw it from before He went to the cross. Every time you blew it, every time you had every deal you've made with God, He knew about it before He went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he nailed it to the cross. Christ canceled the written record against us by taking the ledger to the cross and nailing it there. And in so doing, our debts were canceled. What stood against us no longer hinders us. Christ set us free by His sacrificial death on the cross. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. Listen, no regulation, no human-made ritual can substitute or be added to what Christ has done for us. Neither Judaism or any false teaching can give the salvation that Christ gives. The death of Jesus took care of our indebtedness to God. Listen to this story as I close. In 1940, a 21-year-old black man by the name of W.D. Lyons was arrested for the brutal triple murder in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His conviction was based on a coerced confession, and his trial was a farce. Remind you of anything? While the truth was never fully determined, the murderers were probably committed by organized crime figures who had framed Lyons because he had a prior criminal record. No court in the country, including the United States Supreme Court, had rules sufficient to get to the truth. Lyons was a man caught in a system with no way out. And after 25 years in prison, Lyons was released by the governor of Oklahoma using executive authority. The prison gates were opened and Lyons walked free. Here's the application. Spiritually, we are all left without a defense on a one-way trip into darkness and death. Every one of us. But thank God, your pardon comes with a promise. God said, "I will guide and prosper you in new life in Christ." That's His promise. Not only is our conviction canceled, but we get power for rebuilding our life. He said in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, "I will endue you with power." I want for us to find a place at the cross today. Because I know if I'm dealing with things in my life, my guess is some of you are as well. I don't know whether all of us are signed up, if you will, to go to heaven this morning, but it is my desire, and I promise you that it is God's desire. You know how I know that? Because God said in His Word, "I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus." That's God's will. That's God's perfect will. But how many of you know that God has a permissive will? He will allow you to make the stupid choice to go to hell. Well, how could a God that is so loving, like you're talking about, Pastor, how could a loving God send good people? I mean, there are people that are morally good, upright, honest people. But if they're outside of Christ, they are not going to make heaven their home, church, period. It don't matter how good you are, you aren't that good. So how could a good, loving God send somebody like that to hell? Because He doesn't send them to hell. If you go to hell, let me tell you something. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to. You chose to. It's like the big flood that came through. Guy climbed up on the top of his house, waiting for the Lord that was going to rescue him. The guy come by in a boat. He said, "I'm here to rescue you." And the guy said, "No, go on, find somebody else. I'm waiting for God to deliver me and rescue me." Somebody else come by in a canoe. threw him a life preserver. Here, get on this, I'll drag you to safety. No, I'm waiting on God. Helicopter comes by, drops a ladder down out of the sky. Climb the ladder into the helicopter. I'm here to rescue you. No, I'm waiting on God to rescue me. The guy drowned. He's dead, standing before God. And he begins to question God. Hey, I stood by faith that you are going to rescue me and save me from drowning. I had so much life left to live. And God said, listen, I don't know what you're hacked off about. I sent you a boat, I sent you a canoe, and I sent you a helicopter, and you refused them all. Church, God sent His Son to buy your soul, to redeem you, and to purchase you. And it starts at the cross. Father, this morning I've said everything you've asked me to say, and then probably some. But God, I pray this morning that this message has not fallen on deaf ears. God, the vast majority of us in this place already are saved. But God, there's the chance that there's somebody here that's not saved. And God, Your Word says in John 3:16 that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. You took care of our indebtedness on the cross, Lord, and I thank You for it. God, when I was guilty and without defense, Your Son stood up and defended me before Almighty God and said, He is acquitted, He is redeemed, He has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And this morning, God, maybe there's somebody in this house this morning that would say, God, I need the Son's blood. I need Jesus to forgive me. And I want You to know this morning, whether you're watching by way of the internet or whether you're seated here in this place today, God has done everything possible to redeem you. Don't wait for a rowboat. Don't wait for a motorboat or a helicopter. Realize this morning that Almighty God sent the only rescue device you ever needed in the form of His Son to redeem you and to purchase you and to establish you and to write your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're here today, the sound of my voice and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, people are praying in this place. If you're watching by way of the internet this morning, I want you to know you can get just as saved sitting in your house watching this on the computer as you can in this church. However, I want you to know and understand that God said in His Word to not forsake the fellowshipping together with one another because you're isolated there in your home. You don't have the camaraderie. You don't have the family and the support that you get here in the church. I'm not trying to boast. Boost our attendance. That's not what I'm about. I'm about your safety, and there's safety in numbers. If you're here today or watching by way of the internet, and you say, preacher, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I come to You today to ask You, Lord, would You write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you would say this morning, God, forgive me of all of my sin. I want a relationship with the Lord of Lords. If that's your heart's cry this morning, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that God is not mad at you. God wants to redeem you. The mess that you've got in your life, God wants to sort that stuff out if you'll just let Him. But it starts with you. If you just raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't take a chance of going one more day without knowing that He's my Lord and my Savior. If you've never accepted the Lord before in your life, today's your day. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll lead you to the throne, to the cross of Christ. I'll pray that God will redeem you. If you're watching by way of the internet, I can't see whether you've raised your hand or not. But if you just send us a message there on Facebook, whatever, and YouTube or whatever, we'll read that. We'll get back with you if we can. We'll pray with you. If you accepted the Lord at some point in your life and life happened and you got carried away and He picked you up out of the miry clay and He set you there on the rock, but you stepped off the rock and you stepped back onto the edge of the clay pit and your feet went out from under you and you fell back into the miry clay. You fell back into that same pit. But today God's lifting you back out of there again and you want your life reestablished on the rock Christ Jesus. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand, no shame in this place, I promise you. We will only rejoice with you and celebrate the decision that you have made in your life. I see your hand, you can put it down. Somebody else, yeah, that's me. I want to reestablish my relationship with God. So what if you did it before already? Listen, don't give up. Don't let the devil tell you, listen, you already done that. You've already done that. What's the point in doing it again? Well, the point is I know who I am and I've messed up. And I'm coming before God and saying, God, forgive me. Reestablish my life with you, God. That's all He's asking today. And by simply raising your hand and saying, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Boy, I'll tell you what, heaven is way too important to take a chance on missing. Hell's real. Hell's real. We don't talk about it too much in church. I'm here to tell you this morning, hell is real. The devil is real. The demons are real. But so is God. So is Jesus. So is the Holy Ghost. And what they want is for your life to be established on Christ Jesus. And so this morning, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come. I want to pray with you. I've got people that want to pray with you. It's not because of a show. It's because, listen, the Bible says this, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Woo! That's a scary thing. But He said this, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And these two men here this morning, and I mean absolutely no shame in what I'm about to say, they've both been here before. They've both been here before at this altar for this same thing. This God, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Can I tell you something? Kudos to both of you. Listen, I'll tell you what. I pray, God, forgive me. I've prayed it twice already in this place this morning. God, search my heart. Forgive me of my sin. And that's exactly what's happening. God wants us to come back. Over and over and over. So many times on Monday morning, I feel like I need to get saved all over again. Because it's on Monday, it seems, that the enemy really comes after us. Stretch your hands this way, church. Mike, Jay, don't ever quit. What did I say? Jay. There's Mike again. It don't matter. God knows who we are. This is Jay. This is Dennis. God knows that. And I know that. And this morning, the devil's going to know it. The devil's going to know it. Father, I thank you for my brothers. And I thank you for their courage to raise their hand. To say, God, I've somehow slipped back in to the pit that you've dug me out of before. And they came, walked up here to establish their lives once again. Now pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord, establish me on Your rock that I will never get so close to the edge that I would chance slipping back into the mud, into the miry clay, into the lostness of life without You. Forgive me, redeem me, clean me up, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll serve You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I thank You for these men. I thank You, God, that nothing is more important than their relationship with You. God, establish, make Yourself, from today forward, God, I pray You'd make Yourself so very real. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, over their soul, over their spirit, over their body. I plead the blood of Jesus over their mind. I pray, God, that your blood would go over their ears and their eyes and their mouth, and that their hearts would become brand new. God, that out of these bellies would flow rivers of living water. God, that You would establish them on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And I thank You for it all, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, God, I pray for those that this morning may have been raising their hand on the internet, may have been saying, hey, don't forget about me. Lord, I pray that as they prayed this same prayer with us this morning, that God, You'd make Yourself very real to them there in their home. Or maybe they're in a motel room somewhere. Or maybe they're sitting alongside the road, just somehow You directed them to this channel or whatever. God, save them. Set them free. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. Hey, if you're ready to be baptized, if you want to go get your duds on or change or whatever you got to do, we're going to wait for you. Go ahead. Thank You, Lord. All right. Thank You, Lord. Oh, yes. Listen, while they're getting ready, let's do this. Judy has somebody that needs a miracle from God. And so she wants to stand in the gap. And she wants us to pray that God would do this thing. Amen? Stretch your hands this way. We're going to pray and believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, You know everything. You know everything that is needed. Now, Father, I just commit this person to You. Lord, and as Judy stands in the gap, Lord, I pray that You would give her opportunity to communicate with these that need this prayer today, that need a miracle from God. Lord, that You would speak through her, flow through her, minister to them by Your Spirit today, God. Lord, and at the end of the day, we just pray, God, for Your perfect healing to take place in this person's life. And I thank You for it all. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, he's getting them? All right. We'll wait. We'll wait. Yes, ma'am.
Head is getting too big, and they put a stent so that it can drain.
Okay.
So his head's going to be like a pastor.
Wow. Jesus. Listen. Listen, God's way bigger than all this stuff.
God is way bigger than this stuff. Lord, we just lift little Oliver. Come on, people. We just lift little Oliver. Hold that picture right up there. God, as Grandma stands in the gap for little Oliver, Lord, we know that Your Word declares by Your stripes we're healed. And God, we also know that there's this thing that we overthink called the age of accountability, and this little gripper is nowhere near that. And so, God, I pray right now, God, that You would heal him completely. They said that his brain is, his head is going to be the size of a basketball. God, I come against that in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that You would drain out everything that ain't supposed to be in there. God, I pray, Lord, spina bifida, we curse You in the name of Jesus. You go right back to the pit of hell from where You came and stay there. Lord, I pray for health and wholeness for little Ollie, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, come through in this family, Lord, for this baby. And I thank You. I pray, God, You'd use it as a miracle testimony for mom and dad. God, that wherever they're at in their spiritual walk, that God, they would draw close to You, pursue You with every bit of their fiber. God, and I thank You for it. I thank You for a grandma that knows to go to God on behalf of a grandchild. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. All right. Hallelujah. Well, glory. We ready? Well, young man, are you ready? Come here. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to baptize you. Amen? And then you and I are going to baptize her. Amen? That's your first official role in your new life. Amen? You ready for that? You want to take your watch out of your pocket? And keys and
phone.
Shoes. Thank You, Lord.
Maybe the jacket.
Is this still on, Steve? Yes.
Take the jacket.
Thank You, Lord. Here we go. All right. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for... You didn't bring any clothes? You're going to be wet on the way home. Thank You, Lord. No, I would agree with that. We wouldn't even want him to, all right? We just wouldn't even want him to.
I've been with the Lord for many years. And God bless me, a beautiful wife. In 1990, well, things happened. And God led us back together 25 years later. And it's an honor to baptize my wife. And so, I didn't know the Lord was going to baptize me at the same time. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, come on, get in this water. It's warm. You're going to like it. You don't have a wallet or anything in there, do you? All right, sit on them bricks right there. Nice, comfortable stuff. Well, I don't think it's an accident that you guys found this place.
I think God has a perfect plan for everything that happens. And I think He brought you guys here for a reason. And part of that reason is, number one, to get your life spiritually in order. Secondly, to get your physical life and relationships in order. Amen? And then to further use you for His glory and honor. You believe that? Do you agree with that? Amen? Well, brother, based on your confession of faith, your desire to serve the Lord and to follow Him, it's my distinct honor and pleasure and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? You want to plug your nose? Amen. Purple shirt, purple towel, brother. That is good.
Yay.
I want you to just stay in there, and you can just stand right there. Ruby? Got everything out that you need out? Okay. We just had bubbles, we'd have a jacuzzi, wouldn't we? Well, brother, where'd the mic go?
Right here.
This one's on you.
Ruby, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You profess before these people Him as your God and Savior. And with that, as your husband-to-be, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You sit right down. Plug your nose. There she goes. Woo! That's good. That's good right there. There you go, hon.
That's awesome.
All right. Dennis, come on over here. If I can get these guys out of the jacuzzi. There you go. Make sure you stay on that carpet when you go, or that concrete's terrible slick. Here you go, brother. Come on, big boy. Jump in there. Well, Dennis, here we go. Again. And I'm proud of you for it. I've watched through the years that you've been here. I've watched you grow. And I've watched the Lord teach you things and let you experience some things and be a part of some things. I think, again, that this is part of that. That God never gets tired. God never gets tired of us coming back to Him, church. He never does. He welcomes us. And so today, Dennis, do you want to share anything?
Yeah. And the Spirit told me to do this a while back. But Satan has been tugging at my thing, saying, don't do it, don't do it. Well, yeah. I'm at war with him, and he's losing.
Amen. Amen. He's defeated, right? All right. Dennis, it's my honor and my privilege again to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit based on your profession of faith. Great. Plug your nose. Here we go. Amen.
have a towel. You can use that one too. Way bigger.
Well, there you have it, church. Can we just give the Lord a glory? Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for the honor of being able to baptize people, to see people grow, to see people follow you, Lord, not only in the waters of baptism, but after we've gone through the water, Lord, that you would begin to do something special in their lives, that, Lord, they would follow hard after you, Lord, and that you would cause them to do great and mighty things. Lord, you said in your word, the things that I do, you will do, and even greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father. So, Lord, let that be the case today in not only their lives, but in all of our lives as well. God, that we would do something to glorify and to honor you with our lives. And I thank you for it. I pray, God, for Wednesday, that, Lord, you'd bring us back together. God, help us. God, convict us. Put a spiritual shock collar on our neck, Lord. And anytime we start to mess up, that you'd shock us with that. Bring us back into your reality, Father. And I thank you for it. Go with us this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you and God go with you.